when I met you, did I tell you I was in the first gig I ever got in a, this is what I mean, you're in the thing you don't appreciate. I was in a dinner theater show called The Sopranos, and it was a spoof of the Sopranos.
Really?
No,
comedy
I didn't
spoof.
Know they did that. Not today. What?
You said you have a whole agenda of things you want to talk
about.
Yeah,
we could talk about anything.
No, no, no. I want to know what your agenda is.
Well, you will. That's the show.
It's the fun. Right. When we don't have a guest, I sit where you're sitting, and I have no idea where he's taking it. It's
really?
The best.
But just so people know what's going on, this is our guest, Joe DeRosa, and he sat down. The first thing he said was, wow.
Oh, big fans in here for you.
Does everybody get that clap?
No.
Oh, no?
Yeah, kind of.
It's not special now.
What happened was you sat down. The first thing you said was, I don't want to be disrespectful. The first thing, but you said you hate the show. You hate Sopranos.
Here's what I said. I have a movie podcast. We'll see you in hell. We have been doing it for 10 years, roughly. And for 10 years, I've been arguing with my co-hosts about The Sopranos. And I felt like if I came on this show, and I said it off air to be respectful.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Appreciate it. Yeah,
I said if I came on this show and didn't at least mention it, I feel like I wasn't being honest.
Absolutely.
I felt like I was going to be in here like, oh, gosh, guys, big old fan.
Yeah, right.
The right thing.
That's how I got the job here. I did it to Tom and Christina. I pretended to be a fan of your mom's house. Yeah, I was like, oh, my God, you guys are so great. And they gave me the job. I'm like, peace.
But you've never watched a show.
I've never watched a show. And she's only seen 5 seasons?
Mm-hmm. Four.
4 seasons or something.
Well, that's
like that.
A lot. Yeah. That's a lot of episodes.
It's only half.
Yeah, it's a lot of episodes. Yeah.
Was it 8 seasons?
It was 7.
I thought it was, okay. All right. Well, that's a lot of.
Yeah. I watched a good chunk of it.
Yeah. I never watch anything I've ever been in ever. But I've never been on a show the way you guys were on that show.
I didn't watch it until COVID when everybody else started watching it or
so you
watching
watched
it again.
When it was
I tried
on.
To watch it during COVID.
You tried to give it another shot?
You tried to hate watch it?
No, it wasn't a hate watch. So I don't want to make it sound like I'm hating.
No, this
You're
is
not.
Good. People
and
always
also,
love the show. It's good. It took us a while to find someone who doesn't like it.
We were wondering where you were. But I'm just like, I'm curious as to like—
How dumb you
why,
are.
Why?
She wants to know how stupid you are. Is basically what you're saying.
What is it about the show that you're like, it's just not for me? I have no problem that it's not for you.
When I first saw it, which was when I was in, first of all, let me just say this. I have a thing where if everybody is telling me something's amazing, I immediately, as soon as I'm already sitting
That's
down.
That's like Rob.
Going
Sometimes.
Like, all right. You know, so then when I saw it, I started it wrong. I kind of came in like 4th season. I think the first episode I saw was when Tony was imagining the woman remember the one
in
where
Italy?
He like, where he imagines the woman that's
I never
not
watched
there?
It.
Are you don't even know the storyline.
I know some stuff, but I don't remember like Tony imagination.
Is it in Italy?
It was I forget, but he's like somewhere and he's like there's
a
woman.
That's a terrible episode to start with.
So that's what everybody said. And then I was like, yeah. And then I watched the finale. And I liked the finale.
You did.
I did like the finale.
So you're the opposite of everybody else. You hated the show, loved the finale.
That's right.
I liked the finale. And I was like, and everybody was online the next day like, what the fuck? God damn it. You know, and I was like, I don't know. I thought that was kind of cool. I like cut to black and like, you don't know if he's going to live or I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, because they had you on the rope for 45 minutes. They had these other people on the rope for 10 years and then they faded to black. So
well,
I think the people who 10 years were a little
more
upset.
People get too hung up in their TV shows. It's, you know what I mean?
I'm guilty of that.
People get too hung up. I remember when we watched, because the new season just came out, but when we watched season 1 of True Detective, it was before you could binge.
So good.
And they were putting out an episode a week, and we were like, oh my God. And like that finale of that first season was not great. And I remember my friend Adam Stein said, he saw the finale before I did. And I texted him. I was like, what was it like? And he was like, I think we all might have made True Detective a little more than it actually was. And then when I saw the finale, I was like, oh, it's not bad. It's just a show. It's just a TV show. And like, that was my first experience with, you're writing your own thing in your head.
Of course.
And then when the person, when the crew, team, whatever, doesn't deliver that, you feel betrayed or whatever. And then you're like, I'm not betrayed. I just was writing my own thing.
So have you never watched Sopranos? Is this what we're getting at?
Oh, no. So I did like the finale. And then I went back, and everybody's like, well, no, he sucks. The show is better than that, and all that stuff. So then, so now I'm really like, you know, in my attitude. No, because now I'm like, now you're telling me the thing
you're
I
really
saw of it that I liked, it.
It
wasn't good. And the other stuff I've missed is, and so there was probably no chance of me enjoying it. But during COVID, I tried to watch it. And I got.
From episode one?
I did. I started with episode one. I got about halfway through the first, and I was like, I'm not feeling this. But then a year later, last year, not even, maybe 6 months ago, my co-host Pat Walsh on We'll See You in Hell said, he said, you know what's supposed to be kind of funny, right? And I was like, no, it is? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, well, I missed that. Because I was like watching it and being like, Italian people would never be mad at Starbucks. What do they, you know what I mean? Like, I was like really, and he was like, no, that's supposed to be like funny. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, I think I just missed the boat entirely. I think I wasn't where I needed to be when this came out. I think I wasn't like in the zone of TV that I needed to be in when this came out. And then I tried to go back and watch it. And it's like trying to go back and, like, I've never seen Top Gun. And
don't.
The original?
Never.
The OG
one?
Oh,
the original is great. Maverick is the biggest trash movie of all time.
But if you, really, people said it was amazing.
But that's what she was saying.
I can't talk about this again.
I have the same thing about when people really like stuff.
Look how mad she is.
Well,
I don't like stuff.
I love it. So much time talking about how much he
because
hates
everybody wants
Top
to challenge me. Everybody
it got
wants
picked
to
up on news outlets.
Wait, hold on, just so
Jamie,
you know.
Jamie, you, go ahead.
We have set up a thing for people to send in voicemails or whatever, which is, it's a great time to drop it. 512-387-1880. The only voice notes we get are, Rob's a fucking idiot. Top Gun was awesome. Because I think it was...
They're going to be saying somebody else is an idiot now.
I paid you off to say Sopranos sucks. That's good. But here's the deal. I also am a huge fan of like 90 Day Fiancé. So I'm not somebody who, if everybody like likes stuff and it's popular, I don't like it. But just when everybody's like, Top Gun is the best movie, Top Gun is the best. And then you see it and it was all awful.
Right.
And it was nominated for an Oscar. Listen, that was my take. It wasn't that Top Gun was so bad. It was when you nominated for an Oscar for best film, and then I go see it, and it's cotton candy. Like, it's fucking, it was bad.
Well, that's, okay.
That's how you feel about Sopranos.
Wow. No, there's just moments where it's like, everyone's like, oh my God. You know, he had the whack. He had to whack his daughter's golf instructor, you know? Yeah, like, right. I'm like, guys, all right. I mean, well, come on with this.
And when I watched it for the first time, I was surprised how funny it was.
Okay.
So that, like, I went into it obviously with a very different perspective than you, but I was like, oh God, I didn't even realize how funny it was.
I said to my co-host I would maybe give it another shot with the knowing that it's funny in mind and try to do it that way now.
Yeah.
But it's also just a gargantuan task at this point. It's
yeah,
so much television
say,
watch.
Like...
I've never seen one episode of Breaking Bad. I never saw one episode of Better Call Saul, including the ones I was in. The only episodes of the show I ever saw were the ones at the premiere each season. That was it. I've never seen one episode of The Wire.
Me neither.
See, I kind of sometimes feel like there are certain shows where you miss your time. And like I recently tried to watch The Wire and I was just like, man, this is slow.
So
like
dated?
It was just so slow. And like, I really felt like I was pushing myself. And I was like right now, I am so into Fargo. I don't know if you watch Fargo.
I watched season two. It was incredible.
Season
but
five is fireworks.
I heard it's nuts.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's so good. And I'm really wrapped up in there. And it's like, it feels like a ball rolling downhill. Like, I'm like, I want to get home just to watch the thing. Where like The Wire, I felt like I was pushing this ball up a hill, man.
Yeah, it's...
But don't you think our brains were different back then? Like, there were no smartphones back then. There was no, like, you know, we were able to, like, sit with things and watch things. Now, things lose your interest so fast.
You're right. I feel that a lot with, like, I collect video games. Wait, did I tell you? Sorry, I'm all over the place.
No, this is great.
This is what we do.
Did I tell you that when I met you? Did I tell you I was in the first gig I ever got in a? This is what I mean. You're in the thing you don't appreciate. I was in a dinner theater show called The Sopranos, and it was a spoof of the Sopranos.
Really?
It was
a
comedy
I didn't even
spoof.
Know they did that.
Well, it's probably not legal.
Yeah. Right, yeah. But we would have heard, you'd think we would have heard, like, oh, there's this thing in
Dinner
where,
Theater.
Was it in New York City?
It was spelled, no, it was in the Philadelphia area.
Oh,
it was spelled
wow.
different.
The big time.
Yeah.
Dinner Theater in Philly.
Yeah. It was my first gig. It was called the Soap. It was like the Soap Pran. It was spelled differently.
Yeah.
Right.
For copyright reasons. But it was a dinner theater show. It was sort of musical. There was a few musical numbers. But it was like during the Tony and Tina's wedding craze.
And what's the other? They did other stuff. Like, so people who don't know what Tony and Tina's and that shit is, it's like a show where you're part of the show. Like you go.
It's interactive.
Yeah,
like, so you're like attending the wedding and you figure it out, but you don't know who's like a paid audience member or actually a cast member. You're right. All intertwined with each other.
Who's just there drunk. Like,
right.
So my friend Kyla, who I'm still friends with, played you.
Oh my gosh.
She actually helped me find my house. She's
really?
In real estate. Yeah, she helped me find my house. My
Not
friend,
everyone in Philly
who did you play?
Theater group made it. Just you.
I didn't make it. If I'm the best of the bunch.
Look, they're watching Better Call Saul. They're like, you know, I used to do Sopranos with them.
I never played a real character. I played characters they made up for the show.
Okay.
So when you first started, you had to be a henchman. That was like the entry level.
Oh, you
position.
Worked your way up. I love this.
Yeah, and so I was a guy named Sal Manella. I mean, come on.
I mean, no wonder you hate Sopranos. You were like, this is like torture. Yeah.
It's like, who writes this
Sal
shit?
Manella.
This David Chase is a hack. Sal Manella. If you were a henchman, you had to do table work. Well, everybody had to do table work, but the henchman really had to. The guys that played like the actual family had to do less of the interaction, like in the beginning of the show. At the top of the show, like when everybody was being sat and getting their drink orders, like if you were one of the henchmen, you really had to go work the tables. And I was starting stand up the same time, and I got this thing, and it was like it pays $75 a show, and I was like, this is amazing, like this is incredible.
Yeah.
I couldn't even fathom making money doing something like that. And I did it because I was like, it's going to help me to learn how to think on my feet as a stand-up. And it did. It really did. But then I got promoted and I played this character named Petey, who was the gay cousin, who was obviously, it's not on the show. And it was just be as flamboyantly, effeminately gay as you could possibly be.
Yeah.
And I think at the end of the show, he turns out to be the rat. Sets Tony up to get killed. I can't remember.
Wow.
But I made some lifelong friends doing it. I mean, it was, you know, it was an experience. But the best...
It sounds a lot like our experience doing Sopranos.
Yes.
Here we are.
We made some good...
Not as high,
yeah,
not
we made
as
some
high,
good
bro.
Friends. Yeah.
I know. Oh, my God. So, the...
You were never set up properly to enjoy the show. Not that I'm saying that you have to enjoy the show.
Watch
or
it with
it's
us.
Like,
we'll come over...
I'll watch it with you.
Now he's willing
gabagool.
To watch it. This
oh
is the only...
Guys,
he's never, ever... I've no tried way. To get him to watch it, and now he's willing to with you. This is amazing.
Wait a minute.
Are you a chef?
I'm about to pitch you something right
are you
now.
A chef? Hold on. Are you a chef?
No.
But how do you
a
end
chef.
Up with... Because how do you end up with a sandwich shop? That's what I don't understand.
I got my hand in a lot of things.
A chef?
He has a sandwich place.
You don't have to be a chef to make a good sandwich.
Joey Rose's.
Was Tony a stripper?
No, I'm just saying, like, normally if a guy has a sandwich, but they had their hands in, like, making food.
Because
I'm thinking, we watch Sopranos and you make us gabagool.
He just likes to eat.
Guys, I'm dead serious. Let me pitch you this idea. We should do a podcast.
Okay.
How about
where
no?
No, listen to this. Bro, this is a good idea.
We've been pitched this by real companies.
Okay.
And we said no.
Listen,
we're not saying yes to you. Are you crazy?
We're at a real company. We could do it here. I'm watching it. You're trying to convince me, no, this is good. Watch this with an open mind. You've never watched it. We should do that. That's a good idea.
And we eat while we watch it.
Because what you haven't been pitched is me sitting there as the guy coming in as a skeptic.
You're what we were missing.
Oh, my God. All right. I deserve that. Listen. This is why I didn't feel bad telling Rob this. I felt bad telling you.
Why?
Because you have a good, you have a luminous, something about you is really great.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. That's
you remind me of my cousin Joni, if I'm being honest. Rob.
Now, was she your family in Sopranos or in real life?
In real life. Joni.
Real cousin. Okay. No, real cousin.
She wasn't part of the soap family.
She Petey's cousin?
We are not mad at you. This is not a Sopranos podcast. No, no, no. We just happen to be on it. I know. It's all
people,
good.
You know how much shit I get saying, like, you are so disrespectful of Sopranos for not watching it. How could you not know that fucking this guy killed this guy? People get really fucking mad.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why, though? If you were... I don't understand...
Because I also sound like an idiot when I'm talking about it. Like, people say something, like, so simple, and I'm like, oh, that happened, and it just gets people who are fans so angry.
But it just, it's just mind-blowing to me. Like, when I told Vince Gilligan and Peter that I never watched Breaking Bad, and I was like, guys, I've never seen it. I don't have time. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm, and I told them mid-podcast, because I was like, I have to get this off my chest.
Yeah.
It's eating me alive.
This is what you do. You come on pods and tell people you haven't watched their show.
It honestly would be bothering. We would not be having
I've got an idea for you. You go on everyone's show and tell them you haven't watched their show. It's a good thing.
But no, if I didn't tell you guys that before we started, we wouldn't be having a fun episode right now. It'd be eating at me.
Right. Yes. If I was in charge of setting up the episode, it wouldn't be as fun as when you come in and make it magic.
No, that's not what I meant. You weren't this much of a smartass when you were at my thing.
Because you pretended to be a fan at the thing.
No,
you pretended to be a fan.
No, I didn't.
Joe, you pretended. You said you were a fan. No, you didn't.
Wait, did I?
No.
That was good. That was good acting.
See?
Where's that been?
I know. It was not on the show. If you only watched, even Jamie watched the first 5 seasons, she never saw me do one good scene. I had one good scene on the show in seven years. And Jamie didn't even get to it.
I thought you were good on the show. I'm not just saying that. I've seen you do, I thought you were good. I remember the storyline where you need drugs and Michael Imperioli buys you the drugs, and I like that one.
See, I never knew that happened, and people got mad that I didn't know that she did meth on Sopranos.
It was wild. Now, this is me being nitpicky. This is not me being nitpicky about The Sopranos.
Okay.
This is how I get, though, when I watch things.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm, like, watching him buy you the drugs, and I'm like, "What? You would never do this. This guy's putting his life in jeopardy right now." And the average person, I think, and that's a fault of mine. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm saying it's a problem I have.
I don't think it's a problem.
Well, I think to enjoy TV or whatever or an experience, you don't do
that.
You
have to allow it.
Yeah, but see, because you have to understand,
it's showing you he would risk his life for the Don's daughter.
Right.
Like, to get her the good, clean drugs so she's not going.
He doesn't get the show. He just doesn't get it.
I'll
stop.
Jamie,
Maybe we do have to watch the show with you to explain it to you.
Huh? I need to hold your hand and watch it with you.
Yeah.
But that makes sense. Oh, so she gets clean stuff so she doesn't die. See, I didn't even pick up on that. I was just like, what is this guy, nuts?
Because she went and asked him for it. Yeah. So if they find out that she went and asked him for it, he said no, and then she got the dirty shit and died, he'd get in trouble either way.
It gave me such anxiety. I would have went to Tony and said, your daughter asked me for drugs. She wants to do drugs. You need to do something.
Well, that's
about
the
it.
Thing. These are not honorable, smart people. Do you know what I mean? These are not the people you're watching. The new year for many people means resolutions to save money. So stop shopping without getting anything in return. Start getting cash back on every purchase you make with Ibotta. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items, from groceries to beauty supplies to toys, so you can make sure you're beating inflation no matter what you're purchasing. The average Ibotta user earns $145 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, buy that flight you've been eyeing, that game you're dying to go to, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 just for trying Ibotta by using the code NOTTODAY when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use code NOTTODAY. That's Ibotta in the Google Play or App Store and use code NOTTODAY. The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way, and that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. My 103-year-old grandmother only speaks Spanish, and let me tell you how Babbel has helped me enrich our conversations even more. Babbel is designed by real people for real conversations. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 50% off a one-time payment for a lifetime Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/pal. Get 50% off at babbel.com/pal, spelled babbel.com/pal. Rules and restrictions may apply. If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes, but let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. I can see all of my subscriptions in one place, and if I see something I don't want, I can cancel it with a tap. I never have to get on the phone with customer service. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/not today. That's rocketmoney.com/not today. rocketmoney.com/not today.
Wait, you want to hear a funny story?
Yeah.
This guy, Lev, is my favorite. This is my favorite. I swear to God, it's my favorite show business story of all time, and it's from the Sopranos Dinner Theater Show. This guy, Lev, was playing.
So it's just your favorite story of all time.
Yeah, just a regular story. This guy, Lev, was playing the Petey character. And again, it was like, it was probably quite offensive by today's standards. You wore a boa and all this shit. It was ridiculous. But he was playing, I wasn't there, and he filled in and did the character. And when I came back, he was gone. The next week, he was gone from the show. And I was like, what happened? So he was playing Petey, and there was a guy from Northeast Philly, this like Ginzo dude, like from Northeast Philly, riding, like Lev was working the table, and he's going, oh, come here, sweetheart. Look, come here. Let me give you a little kiss, my little sugar plum. You know, like all that, right? He keeps doing it. Lev breaks character, leans down into the guy's ear and goes, hey, buddy, this is just a show. In real life, I'll beat the fucking shit out of you. And the guy got up and told on him, and they fired Lev on the spot. They made him leave the show, and they had to finish the show without him. And that character's pivotal. So yeah. They had to give them.
They had to quick improv, give somebody else the role.
Yeah, it's my favorite thing I've ever heard of a human being doing in my life. It's so funny.
So we, before we go, something that we like to do on the show is this cup here is just full of a bunch of questions. So we have the guests pull one, and then before they leave, they write one to put in for, we pull it at a later time. You never know when we might
pull
your question. So if you don't mind pulling one and see, if it's my handwriting, sometimes it's a struggle to read, so let me know if you need some assistance.
It looks a little chicken scratchy.
Yeah, that's me.
What does your YouTube homepage look like?
So what's your algorithm looking like? Like when you open up YouTube, like for me, I get like poker, podcasts, and then like for some reason, like I just love skateboarding. Like I love watching dudes fucking do like crazy trick skateboarding, even though I can't skateboard.
This is a good first date question.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's a really, I mean, if somebody asked me that, I'd be like, what are we doing? What are we in an interview? But it is that's a good way to get to know somebody a little bit.
Yeah.
Let me think for a second.
Jamie, what do you?
I don't watch YouTube.
You don't?
That's at so all? Crazy. Uh-uh.
How come?
I don't know.
Wow.
I just don't.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, fair enough.
I don't really have an answer. My kids love it.
Anti-YouTube?
Yeah.
I'm such a fucking...
My kids watch trick shots.
I'm like 90% YouTube.
I watch it more than anything now.
Yeah, it's just... Do you have the premium? Do you do premium?
Do I have a thing on my nose? Is that what you just did there?
No, my nose is running and I'm making sure because every time I don't wipe it for like 30 minutes, I get in my car and I see I have like a white ring and I'm like, nobody told me.
Yeah.
So I'm self-conscious.
You're a lady.
That's all.
We can say that.
I started to watch it all the time once I realized there was television level stuff on it.
I'm watching a thing now of a guy who's making a rainforest like in his house.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just building a full-on rainforest. Like, it's the crazy. And he's like, yeah, there's war between the fucking ants. Right? And I go home every night. I watch this guy. Like,
holy shit.
Full production, like, gorgeous camera work. He introduces, like, new life into the rainforest, like, every week. Like, he'll put, like, fucking tarantulas in there. It's crazy.
Oh, that's wild.
It's crazy.
How big's the room?
It's massive. Like, the thing is bigger than this. Like, the tank that it's in. It's, like, full.
Oh, it's just a tank.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought you meant he had a like, a literal room.
No, but it's, like, can you look on YouTube just to see, like, how big it is? It's, like, what is it called? He calls it something. The planetarium. Not planetarium. It's, like, something, I don't know, rainforest guy. It's fucking. Okay. But there's just so much great shit. Do you have the premium? I only got the premium like fucking 6 months ago because one of my buddies was like, you fucking still watch ads on YouTube? And I was like, yeah, what do you mean? And I did it for 1 month. Now I could never go back. No. Once you do no ads, it's fucking insane.
No, I have the premium. I stay on YouTube. I go to sleep to YouTube almost every
Every night. Look at the fucking.
Hold on, I can't. Hold on.
This guy is fucking awesome.
Wow.
Well, that's beautiful.
It's awesome. What is you got to see him like walk up to it so he could. What's the name of this guy's YouTube channel so we give him a little shout out?
Built a giant cloud rainforest.
The channel's called Ants Canada.
Ants Canada.
Yeah, it is 5.2 million subscribers.
Yeah, I mean, this guy is awesome what he's doing. And then like not only does he build this whole thing, but then he goes in with these like, I don't know how he does the camera work where it's like these fucking, he gets like ants at war inside of the fucking tree trunk. And like, he wanted to introduce everything, but then he put that tree trunk in there from like outside. And it turned out that there was like a ant nest in there. So there was already a bunch of ants. It's like a whole dramatic thing this guy does. It's pretty incredible.
Wow, that's awesome.
And the camera work is insane. And like the storytelling, he actually does a really, like Jamie says, I have a lot of time on my hands.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny when you're like, because I just bought a house, and it's not the biggest house, but it's certainly plenty big for me. You know, I'm single. I don't have kids, whatever. So it's more space than I've ever had. And it's so funny when you're, like, trying to figure out, like, what should I do with this room?
Right.
And you're like, oh, I guess I could build a rainforest if you...
There you go.
The possibility.
Yeah.
There's the warring ants.
So what's your YouTube algo? What are they feeding you when you open up YouTube?
Well, it's always... There's always a healthy amount of video game stuff.
Oh, okay.
Because I collect... I'm a big media file, so I collect. I just was at Waterloo Records today, and I bought like 6 albums. So I buy a lot of physical media.
So like vintage video game videos on YouTube?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of like just, yeah, I follow a lot of channels. You know, Cinemassacre and Metal Jesus Rocks, and there's a bunch of guys I follow. So I always have a lot of video game content coming through, where it's like, whether it's somebody streaming some vintage retro game, or you know, stuff like where it'll be like, there's a brand new game out for the Sega Genesis, these indie creators just made it, and you know, whatever,
right?
So there's a lot of that. There's a lot of interviews with often celebrity interviews, but not celebrity interviews like it's not like clips from Fallon.
Right.
Right.
You know, it's like, it'll be like Nora Ephron on like Charlie Rose. Because I'll get obsessed with a person. I got obsessed with Nora Ephron this year. I was always a fan, but I got locked on
her. I don't even know who that is. Can you
Google amazing
that?
Writer, director, passed away. Yeah. Sleepless in Seattle, right?
Oh, okay.
She made Sleepless. She made You Got Mail.
Oh, okay.
She made Heartburn, or she wrote Heartburn. She, when Harry Met Sally, she wrote,
I've never seen that. I gotta
she's
see that.
She's an incredible writer, so I started downloading her audiobook. She's very funny. So she wrote a lot of, I guess essays over the years. I guess you'd call them essays, but they were published in like the New Yorker and I guess stuff like that. But they're really funny. They're really, really funny. And yeah. she's really funny as a writer. And she's my favorite kind of writer because it's very simple. It's very direct, but it's very funny. Yeah. It's very colorful, but it's not, she's not trying. She's not jerking herself off, no. you know, for lack of a better way of putting it. But anyway, so there'll be like a lot of interviews like that. And then there's always videos of how to turn your van into a house because
right.
I'm terrified that I will be without a home one day.
Aww. Living in a van.
So I'm yeah. always like, how much would it cost? Just so I was like,
that's
like,
how you stay grounded.
Just to have
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
How
yeah.
much would it cost you to buy a van, turn it into a house, and just put it over there somewhere?
Yeah.
Just so I have it.
Responsible.
Just in case. Yeah.
I always
tiny
realize,
house videos. Always. There's always
those
so
are
many,
good. Yeah. I always realize what a pussy I am. Where I'm like, man, it must be scary living it. And there's always like some, you know, 19-year-old girl who's like, yeah, I live in my van and I surf and I this. I'm like, wow, that seems like. She's like, yeah, I sleep in a Walmart parking lot. I'm like, holy shit. Like,
I saw a girl who did it who had like, she was healthy enough to maintain living in the van, but she had like, she was talking about she had a colostomy bag. She had, you know, she had issues Jesus. To deal with and she still.
Well, that's easy because then you just open the van door and toss it right, she, you know? It's easy to.
But I was like, okay, you know, people are doing this that have bigger uphill battles than other people. So I was like, it's doable. You yeah. can live in a goddamn van.
Yeah.
If you really want to.
Yeah.
Listen, we really appreciate
you
coming
so
on.
Much.
Yeah,
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having
it's
me.
Awesome.
Yeah.
This was so fun. I really enjoy the both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks
and
for
hope
being
to
the,
see you again.
The
yeah.
first one
yeah.
to
Love
tell
it.
Us they didn't like Sopranos. It's good. We need
maybe this
it.
Is
we
the,
found him.
This is the history. Mm-hmm. This yeah, is the one
this
that goes
is just
down
the
history.
This is just the beginning. Now everyone's going to come in and be like, you know,
that's right.
Joe finally spoke for all of us. We all hate it.
Yeah. I'm the Malcolm X
good
of...
for you.
Everyone's just been lying.
Oh, can I plug my tour?
Of
yeah,
course,
please.
Oh, sorry, yeah. I thought plugging taste buds was enough, but fine.
No, I'm on tour. We plugged the sandwich shop, Joey Rose's, Rivington Street, 174 Rivington, New York, New York. JoeyRoses.com. Come see us. But I'm on tour right now. My new hour, it's called I Never Promised You a Rose Garden. February, San Diego, L.A., San Fran. Get your tickets. I've got more dates. After that, throughout the spring, JoeDeRosa.com. Please come see me, and let's have fun.
Awesome.
Yeah, and if you're in the if you're in New York, go to the sandwich shop, because the sandwiches look fucking...
They look amazing.
They look legit.
Yeah. Good. All right. Please. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.